One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Don't let this freak you
don't
out.
Let this episode and don't let this absolutely traumatize you.
Don't let this episode make you never leave your house. I felt really peaceful, like all my worries were gone. Then I saw my grandmother who had died years ago.
Would you jump off a cliff for me?
Yeah, I would slide down on my boot. Lesson learned, raising iPad kids saves lives.
The plane suddenly dropped.
Nope.
It makes me want to punch her in the face. No. Then she probably would have stabbed you. So
I need to learn some self-defense.
Hi.
Hey, it's Sarah and Lo Beeston,
your Fairly Odd Sisters.
Woo!
Yeah!
Please don't make me do it again.
Welcome back to the Fairly Odd Sisters. How are you guys?
Hello.
Hope you're having a really wonderful day today. We are excited to record today's episode, and it's all about near-death experiences, which I feel like Derek had a near-death experience.
That's true.
And it's scary, true. Like a thought that you can, because you think when you're young, you just think you're kind of invincible, mm-hmm. and you don't think anything bad is ever going to happen to you. It's mm-hmm. like that happens to people we don't know. And then when it happens to somebody you know and love, you're like, oh, freak. Like it's kind of a little wake-up call, like, oh, we're not invincible.
For sure.
We, you know,
we can
like
die.
We can get hurt
we can
like die. And anyway, that's like a scary reality. And some, I think
kind of morbid.
I think I kind of like shut it off. Like I just kind of like,
I think that's just a kid brain. I think it's not being developed. I think about some of the stuff we did in high school
I hate
and junior high. And I am just grateful to be sitting here today. Cause I'm like, my brain didn't think that there were red flags there, but why am I doing
and
this?
And doing all this crazy shiz just to mm-hmm. impress a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Literally,
comes down to that.
No, I would I would do not just for that, but like I also was just like, oh, that would be fun. But I did all this shiz, just be like, yeah, I'm that girl that can freaking jump this. Like I can jump off this bridge into this river.
So
it's totally easy.
We all jumped off a bridge
inside
into a river.
Freaked.
Why?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that always was the case, and it was like, yeah, you can't do it, and you're just like, I'm gonna prove them wrong.
Yeah,
that's my biggest fear about having kids is like mm-hmm. through that phase. How can I parent in the way to like be like, please don't do this
so it
crap.
Doesn't end up like a walk to remember.
But I just did. No, literally, it's so sad and scary.
I know,
but like I yeah, and that happened at our school. Somebody jumped into the river, like literally a walk to remember moment happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it being so scary, so shocking. Somebody jumped off this bridge that all of us had done before.
Mm-hmm. I've done that one that you're talking
about. And like jumped in, and I think I don't even know if he hit a rock or something.
He hit a rock.
And got stuck, like, and obviously went unconscious. And all the friends thought he was joking mm-hmm. around. It was the same situation. And then he ended up not living. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, so traumatizing, so scary.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Whew.
Well,
we jumped
that,
right in with that.
Should we give some personal life updates?
Yeah, let's give some updates before we go into this episode.
God. Also, these are near-death experiences.
These are near-death.
Not death.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to know how many people, you know, felt like they saw, because a lot of people talk about seeing their life flash before their eyes and kind of you have all these like flashing moments, and like, what do you think about, or what do you think would be your flashing moment?
What's your last thought?
Like, what's your last thought before, you know, you feel like you're going to die? That's
I bet there's some of those in there.
Yeah.
We haven't read them. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Anyway, so let's do some life updates. Number one, by the time this episode will air, like the Olympics will be over. But we did watch, I watched part of the opening ceremony, which was actually really cool until it kind of got a little weird. There was like I was watching with my sister, my mom, the kids were all around watching these performances. Lady Gaga performed. Mm-hmm. We had like all these great, like they did a Phantom of the, wait, no, they did a Les Mis tribute. Mm-hmm. They did part of that song. It was really cool. And then they had people running the torch, and a lot of like great stuff was happening. And then they kind of flashed this like library scene of these two guys kind of running around the library and like throwing pages. We're like, oh, this is pretty, like, what's this mm-hmm. about? Mm-hmm. It ended up being like they all, like three people came into the scene, I think it was two boys and a girl, and they all started like kissing at one part.
Oh, awesome for the kids.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm just like, what is happening?
Like, why is this
isn't sports, this isn't Olympics, like what does this
have to do?
And I was just like, what, okay, that's a little interesting. I wouldn't,
you just look at your kids,
foresee
they
that
just
happening.
All like, they're anyway, really let's go good outside. Friends
let's hit outside and go swimming. So oh anyway, took them outside and went swimming, but it was so weird.
That's,
it came
really
out of nowhere.
Strange that they would do that.
I thought they were just friends.
Just
and then
throw that in there.
The little, you know, three coupling kissing happening. Anyway, so that was
wasn't
weird.
There,
but the best part of the opening ceremony, which I got choked up, like
Celine Dion.
You know, it takes like a little bit for me to cry. Mm-hmm. I literally got choked up watching this because Celine Dion performed. She had like the end performance to the lighting of the torch or whatever. And they lit this balloon up and all of a sudden we hear this beautiful person singing. And I'm like, well, that sounds like Celine Dion. Zooms into the Eiffel Tower and it's Celine in the middle of the tower, just
that's
singing
so cool.
In French. Cause she's mm-hmm. like, she's from Canada, but she speaks French. She's like French Canadian. I don't know.
Celine Dion.
And she was killing it. And it was so beautiful. And it just, she had that new documentary come out that's about how, what she's been going through. Mm-hmm. And it's this neurological thing that's happening to her that's like stiff body syndrome, where it's affecting her, like how she sings. Mm-hmm. And she's so distraught because she feels like her purpose on life is to be a singer. And like there's things that she can't do with her voice anymore that she used to do so easily. And she like got very vulnerable in the documentary and talking about that. So people didn't think she doesn't want to sing live mm-hmm. anymore, or she doesn't want to do performances anymore because yeah. she's nervous about that happening. And so when she did this performance, she literally did it flawlessly, didn't miss a note. It was so good. And the fact that she's like going through that and still stood in front of the world to mm-hmm. sing and then did that well, like even you could see it on the piano player's face. He was so proud of her, like after she hit the like last high run, like he was like beaming and like getting emotional, and she was getting emotional. And then Kelly Clarkson was hosting, like she was one of the hosts, or what is it called, one of the
announcers.
And one of the announcers was like, Kelly Clarkson, what did you think? And she was like, I actually can't talk right now. Aww. And she was like so emotional because of everything that she's going through right now. And I was getting literally choked up. I was like, oh my gosh, just because, yeah, with everything going on. And yeah. people were saying like that might be her last like live yeah. performance that she ever does. It mm-hmm. might be the last time we see her
yeah.
perform. And so anyway, it was really cool. And I love Celine Dion. I've loved her yeah. since I was a kid.
Yeah, who doesn't? I mean, I feel like I've seen her a couple of videos where she can't get through her songs. So the fact mm. that she was able to, I think was probably, that's why she was so emotional. Cause
yeah.
she, there was a couple of other times where she couldn't do the lyrics
yeah.
or she couldn't hit the note. And it was like so frustrating to her because she does not mess up.
No,
she never messes up. Any
She's
of
just
her
so
stuff.
Strong of a singer, but
yeah.
so crazy. So good. So that was like a really nice surprise at the end there to get
we love
Celine.
Kelly Clarkson.
Love Kelly. She was so emotional and so supportive yes. of her. And it was really sweet.
Oof.
So anyway, That's the Olympics highlight for me. I also, what are your favorite
sports?
No, but what? That was a highlight for
that was the highlight
for the opening ceremony. That was the best part for me for sure.
Oh my God.
But what was your favorite sport to watch in the Olympics? Like, what would you choose?
I just
to turn
love
on?
The gymnastics. I love watching that.
That's a classic good.
Because they just are so alien.
So entertaining.
Like, the fact that they're
Simone
on this-
Biles.
Yeah.
Gets like 20 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you are literally like a 5 foot nothing, maybe even shorter.
Yeah.
Person. And you just freaking boost into the air like a skyrocket. Like when she starts flipping, she gets higher. Like she's flying in the air. And I just don't understand. Like she spirals up and she's just like, I'm going to do 17 flips here as I fly into the sky. I just don't understand
and
how
they
it works.
Land on like a
it's like
couple
physics
inches
isn't real.
Of a beam.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So she killed it. I mean, up to this point, she's killed it. The US team is killing it. I actually personally love watching the beach volleyball. I was watching that last night.
Yes.
The US, it was USA versus Czech Republic and USA beat them and they killed it.
Is it
they were so
the,
good.
The doubles one?
Yeah,
the
two
team?
Person on the sand. Yeah, it was really good. I love that. And Tanner has, of course, been just watching surfing and skating. That's his two faves for sure.
That's usually what the boys want to watch. That and basketball.
Also swimming. Swimming is so fun to watch for me. And USA and Australia have this thing. So like, I hope USA like comes out
well,
winning
I guess
the end.
Know.
Well, they'll know, but we don't know right now.
That's hopefully true. We don't know now.
Okay. Anyway, that was the Olympics.
Yes.
Next up would be I'm getting my hair done in a couple of days. So by the time this comes out, I'll have new hair. It's not going to be crazy different. I'm just going to go back to my roots and my roots is brown. So
that will be crazy different. Your hair is very
dark.
Light.
I don't know. It's like always kind of bronzed anyway. So it's not going to be a huge change, but I'm excited to go back to my roots, see how that feels.
I think it's going to be darker than what you think.
I don't,
because
yeah,
you
I'm just
think,
so used
you
to
You always
this.
Think you're dark, but your hair's literally blonde.
Yeah, I still call myself a brunette. But
yeah,
like
look,
brunette
your
with
top,
highlights.
Like your roots are definitely brunette.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a way bigger change than what
I'm
you
excited.
Think.
I'm excited to see how it comes out. I needed to give my hair a bleach break because it's just been bleached on since high school. So
bleach on, bleach off.
Let's take it back to the roots.
Honestly, it's like now we're both going back to our roots. So.
Going back to where we came from.
Back to where we came from. We might stay like that.
Yeah.
That'll be crazy.
So
we're
going to
have to do a revamp of the podcast. We keep
I know,
talking
we need,
about this
well,
and then we keep changing
our hair.
That's
the whole thing is like, since I'm changing my hair, we're like, well, should we wait to take pictures then?
Yeah. Yeah, because anyway. I was red, so we were like, let's do it then. But then Lo was like, I might go brown. So we're always waiting on that to like revamp it.
Yeah.
My only update is that I launched a jewelry collection. Woo-hoo. It came out a couple of days ago and super exciting. Basically, this company reached out to me. This was like back in February. And they were asking if I wanted to collab on a jewelry collection with them. And I didn't even know what that meant, but I hopped on a call with them and I felt so good about it because it was all like going to be my pieces. Like I feel like with most of the time when you work with a jewelry company or you collab with someone, they just have you pick out of a catalog or like a random thing that's not really meaningful to you and you aren't super involved, but you're the face of it, you know? And this was so fun because I was involved in every tiny detail, every step of the way, like all... Like the jewelry collection is my designs, which is so cool. And they like brought it to life and the pieces like mean a whole lot to me. And so the whole process was so fun. So we launched that and
so cool.
So
and
stoked.
The pieces are like exactly you.
Yeah, I'm
like
wearing
they just,
them.
You're wearing them. They're so cute.
I love them.
They
I'm not wearing the earrings
Sarah.
Right now, but anklets. I know. I wanted people to be able to see it and be like, oh, that's for sure Sarah. And she designed that, which I think happen, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then we are going to be having a restock, I think, in a little bit. So if you didn't even know that, you can check them out on their website. Me shamelessly plugging right now.
No,
here
it's
I go.
Amazing.
No.
I love it.
But I think they are going to restock in September. So
very
if you
cool.
miss the first time around, you can do that.
Keep your eye out. Popping in from the future. Sorry for the jump scare with the hair. I know it's different. We'll talk about that later. Adulting is very cool in some ways and also very, it comes with, you know, downsides, which is taxes, finding a doctor, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't have to be that hard with ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high quality in-network doctors, choose the right one for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment.
I mean, we're talking about in-network appointments with over 100,000 healthcare providers across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, basically anything you need, eye care, skin care, and much more.
Plus, ZocDoc appointments happen fast. Typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, you can even score same day appointment. The next time I need a doctor's appointment, you know I'm using ZocDoc, because finding a doctor for the girls and for all of my needs and Tanner's needs, it can be that much easier with this app. So you can count on me using it for the next time. All right. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/fairlyodd. Find and instantly book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/fairlyodd. ZocDoc.com/fairlyodd. So we're talking about near-death experiences today, and we were saying how we kind of felt like invincible as kids until it happens to somebody like yourself or somebody you know and love. I feel like you don't think it's going to happen to you ever. And it did happen to Derek.
Good old Derry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we've talked about it a couple of times briefly on the podcast, but I don't know how detailed have we gone on into that.
I think we just have said what happened, but I mean, I feel like if you're listening to the podcast, you've probably heard it at some point, just because we've talked about it on YouTube and other platforms. But basically, Derek was 15 years old, and he was hiking with his family in St. George, Utah. And it was just like a nice little family outing. And Derek being Derek, thinking he still has this level of like, I think now he doesn't after all of his injuries. I think that's something he learned this year, actually, that he's not invincible. But obviously, as a teenager Derek was invincible. So he was hiking up like higher than all the family.
And he was running up.
Yeah, he like went up on this really tall rock, and Derek's family was getting ready to leave. So they're like, Derek, come down. And so Derek started kind of running. He was wearing Vans, like the worst hiking shoes on the planet. Mm-hmm. And he got going too fast, and he basically just tripped and rolled. He said he rolled like 3 or 4 times and then flew like off of this cliff. And his parents watched him. They couldn't see the bottom, which is honestly grateful for that probably, but they just saw him fall off this cliff, and he landed flat on his face on a rock at the bottom. This is a 30-foot cliff, right? And so by the time Derek's dad and mom like ran over there, he was like obviously in like a puddle of blood, and his face was just completely smashed in. So morbid, so awful. And he obviously wasn't responding. So his parents are thinking he's dead. And so they start screaming, and Joe, they start calling Lifelight. Lifelight comes, and there were some people hiking, luckily, that were there. One of them was a doctor and came over, and they started wrapping Derek's head with his shirt, and they started ripping his clothes off and just like trying to stop the bleeding. This is so gnarly. And then Lifelight came and took him and his mom up in a helicopter, and they flew them to Vegas because that was the nearest big hospital, because St. George doesn't have something for that kind of trauma.
They need it. I feel like so much really stuff happens in St. George because of the hiking. I feel like they need that.
They have emergency centers, but Vegas was like the one to go to if something, like if he's on the brink of death, which they didn't even know at this point if he was going to make it. And so they, I guess they lifelighted, then got in a small plane, and the small plane took them to Vegas. And apparently the plane almost crashed on the way there.
Yeah, the whole way. It was like the worst
turbulence, worst wind, and the pilot was really nervous that they were not going to make it in the plane.
Yeah.
So I honestly, thinking about being a mom and like having that be Jack, I don't know how his parents did this. And anyway, he went to the emergency center at the Vegas hospital, and they just immediately started doing surgeries and giving him blood, and he was able to live. And honestly, they thought at the beginning that he would be like either they not didn't be know able to his walk condition. They didn't know, or he'd be brain dead the rest of his life if he lived.
Yeah.
Like, so the fact that like Derek is alive and well.
And like 100% normal. Like not even.
Yeah. He'll always have like some brain stuff going on that we've talked about. We don't need to go into detail, but he'll always have some of that going on. Obviously that was like so much trauma to his head. But he lived, which nobody understands how. Like
it, I don't it was think, like such a miracle.
Yeah. Like he's a little miracle child and yeah, so close to death. Like, I don't know how. I feel like if he had landed any different, like any little
thing.
Oh,
there was
like,
a rock that landed, didn't right it hit in between right his here? Eyes. Like, and if it would have landed on his eye, like that whole, he would have been, boom, through the eye, into the brain.
Yeah.
Like
just
gone.
So many little
like, there's
things
so much like he that could have happened.
Should have died. Could have run out of blood. Like so many things. The fact that there was just randomly. Chills. I know. The fact that there's randomly just a doctor there too to help is so crazy.
Yeah.
Like. Thank goodness, because obviously, I mean, Joe was super, his dad was super helpful. He gave him a blessing too, which is awesome. And then just him stopping the bleeding and having like the strength to pull yourself together and try and like figure this out when that's your son.
Yeah.
Like in this not responding.
No, it's like, so crazy.
Anyway, his poor parents. I am just so glad like. He's okay. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
He was definitely like, he looked super different for a while from what everyone was saying. He was swollen. He had so many surgeries. His whole nose was basically off his head. So
they had to like,
had to rebuild it.
A new nose for him.
And crazy, crazy. He still has like metal in his face and plates and stuff, but he's here today. And honestly, the doctors did so good looking at his pictures.
Oh yeah, he looks.
I'm like, they couldn't have done better.
So normal to me
from a smash face to like that. I'm like,
well,
oh.
I remember in high school it being like a thing for him that if he broke his nose again, like he couldn't break his nose again because there's like we can't fix it again. Mm-hmm. So like, and he played football and basketball, the two most like contacty sports. So I remember him having to wear like a guard or something on his nose to make sure he like didn't break his nose again. I'm like, oh my gosh.
So stressful. So stressful. Like you just won't have a nose.
Yeah.
Just there like, just wasn't back enough to cartilage gone. To like build Voldemort. It up or something. Yeah. Like it was because it was just gone, which is crazy. And then he broke a few other things. And
yeah.
But overall, I'm like, could have been so much worse. He could have been in a wheelchair the rest of his life.
I know. And I actually remember Tanner because like we were at whenever we are McDonald's fans over here. I don't know if you know
Mickey
this,
D's.
But we love Mickey D's. And Tanner and I, whenever we would go, like when we were first dating or whatever, he would always donate to the, there's like a McDonald's, what is it called? It's called
the Ronald
McDonald. Ronald McDonald House or something. And whenever they'd ask, he'd always say yes to that, to like round up to that.
I still do that.
And I was like, oh, like, why do you always do that? Just like curious. And he's like, oh, well, when Derek had his accident, like we stayed in a Ronald McDonald house.
They helped nurse him
for like a week.
Help. Yeah.
And so that's where they stayed while Derek was in the hospital. And so I was like, oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Derek has a really soft spot for that. So we do the same thing.
Yeah.
We always donate to that just cause yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Such a crazy story and so experience. Crazy. I can't even imagine being anybody in that situation. Like the family members are just scared sick.
Yeah.
And then Derek has to actually go through it and be like, what is going to be? Well, yeah. And then they were, while he was asleep, it's like, if he wakes up, is he going to be the same as he was before? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you just don't know the state
the
until they
that
wake
he's
up.
Normal, a normal functioning human is mind boggling.
Yeah.
Well, transitioning into this, there's a good old story that's kind of similar.
Yeah.
Do you want to read that one?
Yeah. This says, for my bachelorette party, we went hiking, and at one point I went to look off the edge of the walkway and ended up slipping and falling off a 30-foot cliff. The best part is that one of my bridesmaids jumped after me to help me. Like, girl, that's the ultimate best friend. What? Jumped off?
Oh my
That
gosh.
Is, I, wow. So it sounds like she's okay, but that is such a long
Same
way
thing,
to drop.
Like, the bridesmaid jumps after.
Yeah,
that
how did
is
she?
Crazy.
I wonder if she got hurt too.
Are they both
too.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine there wasn't some major
things that happened.
You left us hanging. I'm like, what happened? What? Are you okay? What did you break?
Yeah.
That is crazy. Would you jump off a cliff for me?
Yeah, I would slide down on my boot. I would slide on my booty. I wouldn't jump. I would slide down. Because like
it was probably just a reaction of
like
friend.
Wow, I just feel like I'd be in the same position as you, yeah, and I wouldn't be helpful.
Dead. That's not great. Don't need two dead moms.
No, so I think I would just slide on my booty down.
That's good
to get you.
Yeah, just start hustling like Mufasa.
Yeah.
Down the rocks. That's good.
Put my claws into you.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. That's jumped so scary. Honestly, and keep it's that on
the bachelorette
close.
Party.
Yeah, that sucks. So she was probably like messed up for the wedding.
That's crazy.
Wow. All right, this one says, not mine, but my dad almost blew up when our house burned down. It was 2 a.m. and the house was up in flames across the whole back of the house. He sprinted to the back to try and put it out with our garden hose.
Oh, no.
The hose wasn't working, and as my dad rounded the corner to come back to the front, the propane tank hooked up to our grill exploded about 5 seconds before my dad was standing there just a few feet away from
no
him.
Way.
That's
burning
scary.
Houses when... are actually like such a scary, scary thing, yeah, for me. Like I think about it sometimes.
I think when, if the whole back of your house is up in flames, I think that's when you leave it to the firefighters.
Like you don't know how you're going to react until you're in the situation. Cause I always think like, okay, what would I grab if my house is on fire and I had like 1 minute to like round some stuff up. Now that I have kids, it's different. I would literally beeline for my kids and just book it out. Like, yeah, I don't even care.
That's the only thing.
But when I was, when it was just Tanner and I always thought like, okay, just grab your computer. Cause it has all your memories on it. Mm-hmm. Like that's it.
Yep.
So
computer, photo albums,
yeah,
stuff. Well, I guess you can always reprint. Yeah. Hard drives. With all the photos.
It's crazy. Yeah. I would run straight to the office, grab my computer, I think. But now that I have kids, I don't even think I would grab my computer. I think it would just be
kids out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I have some Google Drive photos saved. Like,
and if we don't,
good
doesn't
enough,
matter.
I don't care.
Yeah. The baby's out.
Yeah.
Stuff like that happening when you're sleeping scares me to death. Mm-hmm. Or like carbon monoxide.
Oh, I
just had that thought like two
no,
days
I hate
ago.
It. Yeah.
Because I was thinking, oh, people just don't know. And then they just die in their sleep.
My number one thing is like, we need to have carbon monoxide detectors. Because
do you have some?
Yeah.
We haven't gotten some yet.
Yeah. I have one in the kitchen. And so, but yeah, that's such a big fear.
I want
so
one
scary.
On every floor of our house. Cause Yeah, that freaks me out.
Like, wake me the frick up.
Because you just wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's the scariest part, is that you don't know what's happening.
I think, oh my gosh, did you just see this? Lake Powell, this is so random, but at Lake Powell, I guess it's not because we're talking about
neither.
My inner thoughts are literally coming out of my head right now. It is. No, it's not. There's a family at Lake Powell on a houseboat, and there was a gas leak in the middle of the night, and they all were like very close to death.
You're kidding.
Until one person was awake going to the bathroom, and they realized they felt so dizzy and they started like freaking out, and they're like, they were going unconscious.
Were there kids?
There were teenagers.
Oh,
there were kids.
Gosh.
There were, and they all had to get lifelighted off the houseboat.
Oh my gosh. How did they get service to like get out of there?
I have no, well, they probably have Wi-Fi like on boat or whatever, but, yeah, so they all got taken to the hospital and they had to literally be hooked up to all these machines and get like treated.
Gosh.
And they were so close to dying. If the one person didn't wake up and realize that they were like dizzy
that
and stuff was
so
going on,
haunting.
Because they all would have died and no one would have known. It was
that
I saw that and I was like
the scariest thing I've ever heard.
Like that's why I'm like, wherever
get the carbon monoxide
staying,
on your boat. Get the carbon monoxide detectors everywhere.
I think about that when we're even traveling, like when you stay in an Airbnb.
Totally.
Just anywhere. Like, you should bring one with you.
Jeez, this is giving me anxiety.
Anyway, sorry. Okay. Continue.
No, what was
like
I going to say? Oh, another thing that I heard, I saw a firefighter talk about this actually. And he said the thing that starts a lot of house fires that people don't know is fans in your bathroom.
No way.
Because a lot of times, like in an older house, yeah, that's been the cause of like a lot of house fires. And I'm like, why is that not talked about?
Somebody like, talk about it.
Let's turn. So now I'm like so good about turning
off
the fan in the bathroom. Like not the fan on the ceiling, but like the ones that keep
it's
the bathroom,
in the thing,
in the wall.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. Anyway, that so make sure you turn your fans off and get carbon monoxide detectors. Okay. Don't
episode,
be too scared.
This episode
life.
Is fully going to spike
jeez.
Everybody's
little anxieties.
Yeah.
This is spooks. Okay. Also, I just got my nails done. Remember? Oh, yeah. This one chipped like a day after.
No way.
I'm like, Sursler on L.
Sursler?
Surge freaking life.
Is it just gel?
It's gel. Yeah. But it chipped like 2 days after. I usually go like
if
a mo.
It's not Luminary or.
No, I mean, but like usually gel sticks with me for a mo.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you do dishes? Because mine will last literally 3 days if I do dishes.
Jeez, it shouldn't chip. Okay, I need a redo. Before we go to Hawaii. Oh, we forgot to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be in Hawaii next in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be there for the month. So we're really excited to spend time with our people out there.
Peepees.
And go to our peepees.
Can we get that?
No.
I was going to say peeps. And for some reason, for our peepees, that came out so bad.
We're going to spend time with our peeps there. And we get to go surfing and enjoy. Actually, there's probably not waves
right now.
But we're going to enjoy the summer sun and the summerness of the water, which is nice.
Summerness.
Which is like no waves, really warm, nice. And good.
Good.
And we're excited.
Just a good time.
Oh, here's a little update for you.
Yeah.
We both got, we should say, new cookware sets. Truthfully, we've had Caraway pots and pans for the last year. We've had it for just over a year, and you guys have had yours since you moved in.
Yeah. But my parents have used them for years. So I've just always been waiting for my time.
Yeah, for your them. For your time. And we both have had them, and then we just both ordered new sets for them, and I stuck with the pink. What color did you go for?
I got cream this time.
So it's really nice because the cookware is made out of ceramic, so it's naturally slick for your food, so you don't need to use as much butter or oil to like keep it from being sticky.
And they're so easy to clean.
So easy. And we never even put them through the dishwasher. We just like, it just slides off the food and you just scrub it off.
Boy, do I wish we had these in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I swear every time I was cooking in Hawaii, like pieces of toxic black stuff just would get in our food. And Derek's like, oh, you put pepper. I'm like, no,
just part of the pot. That's just part of the pot and pan.
It does not happen with these at all. They don't use toxic materials. So I feel better about cooking food for our family.
Yeah. We love, love. They're also really freaking cute. And so if you don't even have storage for your pots and pans, don't you fret.
Put
them on your counter because they're so cute.
But if you don't believe us, there is over 65,000 five-star reviews on these. So you don't even have to take our word for it.
Yep. If you're wanting to update your kitchen cookware sets, their famous cookware set comes with saute pan, fry pan, Dutch oven, saucepan, lids, and storage. It's the ultimate kitchen setup. Plus, we did all the math, and the cookware set will save you $150 versus buying the items individually. So if you visit carawayhome.com/oddsisters, you can take an additional 10% off your next purchase. The deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/oddsisters or use code oddsisters at checkout. Caraway non-toxic cookware made modern. Again, that's carawayhome.com/oddsisters to save on their cookware. In the car after my 3-year-old brother refused to get a haircut, we're listening to Toy Story's You've Got a Friend in Me. He is watching his iPad per usual. All of a sudden, a piece from a semi-truck came flying out of nowhere in the air and went through our window while we were driving through the fast lane. It shattered our window and boomeranged off the iPad. My brother's face was bleeding. I was in the back with him, but could barely breathe because the chemical from the car glass opened my door. Oh my gosh.
Oh my.
I called 911. My mom had control of the car. We were on the side of a busy highway. EMS came and said if he wasn't watching his iPad, he would have literally been knocked out and unconscious with serious brain injuries. Lesson learned, raising iPad kids saves lives. And I was also pregnant, so I too had to go to the hospital to get monitored because it was a bad situation and all. That is so scary.
Those stories where it's like, if they're an inch to the left, an inch to the right, if they aren't looking down, changes the whole outcome.
Yes.
Scare me.
Yeah.
So bad.
I'm like, okay, let me give my kids iPads every time we get in the freaking car.
Wait, just in case a piece from a semi-truck comes through.
Like, we just need a reminder, like, while we're reading these, I want everyone to know that, like, you need to still live life. Like, there's times where we're like, okay, let's remind ourselves, like, let's be smart, let's make good decisions. But you just hearing this stuff, like, I know it can hinder people from living their life. Mm-hmm. And like, say maybe they say no to things that they'd be okay on, mm-hmm. but they're just like nervous or have anxieties or whatever. I just feel like we need to still choose to like live our life, even though bad things can happen. Mm-hmm. I think everything will happen that's supposed to happen. And mm-hmm. so just continue living your life. Don't let this freak you
don't
out.
Don't let this episode absolutely traumatize you.
Literally, don't let this episode make you never leave your house. Seriously. I just want to say that before moving on.
Yeah, that's
also
good.
Whoa, I got a new phone case. Look at, I'm matching a little bit.
Oh, cute. Squares.
Okay. Next up.
Okay. I was on a flight to Arizona from Ohio. And 1 hour out from Arizona, the plane suddenly dropped.
Nope.
We all screamed and the plane was going up and down and to all sides. The pilot came on the announcement and said, everyone make sure to have your seatbelts on just in case we, and didn't finish the sentence. He then came back on while the plane was still going crazy and said, sorry, folks, pretend I didn't say that. The plane all of a sudden went nose down. No. It finally went steady again and we landed. When we got off, the flight attendants acted like nothing happened and everybody was saying how it was the worst flight they've ever been on. And the flight attendants acted like nothing was wrong. I will never go on an Allegiant flight again.
Oh my gosh, that's, I'm going on an Allegiant flight in literally two days.
You are?
Yes, I'm going to I'm going to get my hair done.
Oh.
And then I'm taking the Allegiant flight.
Oh, wow. That is so, that's like my worst fear. I still, even being on planes so much, every time I step on a plane, when there's turbulence, and I know like planes are, for the most part, so safe and turbulent, mm-hmm. but I still think
it's scary every time.
What if the plane drops?
Yeah.
What if the electronics go out or something, and it just falls, it's so like scary. This?
No, I fully have been on like two flights where it's been like such bad turbulence that I've been like, I'm scared right now.
Yeah. That is,
and
horrifying.
I like look over at Tanner because we're usually sitting in separate rows because they have to separate us with the kids, and I'm always like, yeah, are we okay?
In this situation, it's so scary that the flight attendants and the pilot are acting like nothing happened.
I'm sure they just wanted to like be they like, don't give us
over.
A bad
don't
review.
Talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's
like, okay,
scary.
The plane almost crashed.
No, and the pilot saying, so that we don't, and then cuts himself off.
It.
And he's like,
I bet the co-pilot like shut his microphone off.
He's like, don't like, say it. Everyone's going to go to panic. Yeah. Oh, cause you don't want the whole flight to be in panic mode.
Yeah.
But, oh man, that's this scary. That's really, really scary. Ooh, I don't like plane stuff. I really don't.
Mm-mm.
Okay. This one says, I've always loved adventure, like hiking and swimming. One summer, I decided to hike the Andes by myself. Is that how you say it?
Andes, yeah.
Everything was fine until the third day and a sudden storm hit. The trail got super slippery, and as I tried to walk on a narrow ledge, the ground gave way. I fell and everything went black. When I woke up, I was in a strange place that was neither light or dark. I felt really peaceful, like all my worries were gone. Then I saw my grandmother, who had died years ago. Allie, she said, smiling gently, it's not your time yet. You still have much to do. I reached out, tears in my eyes. I miss you so much, I whispered. I know, she replied, touching my cheek, but you must go back. Your journey is far from over. The next thing I knew, I was back on the mountain, cold and in pain. Rescuers were already coming to help me as I was airlifted to safety. I couldn't stop thinking about my grandmother's words. That experience made me see life differently. I realized how precious every moment is and that I had a purpose. Now I try and live each day to the fullest and share my stories to inspire others. I literally
Holy
have chills
crap.
Through that whole thing, like full blown
that
chills.
That is so insane.
See, that's what I was talking about is like a lot of people have experiences like this because I think they're so close to the other side. Mm-hmm. Like
they're in the middle.
You can, I think what happens is on Earth, this is my idea. This is all my assumption, but there's some people that are more open to the other side or almost like they don't have these blockers that can connect them to people who have passed and they can have these connections and experiences. And then I think we have these mental blockers though, that most of us can't have those experiences and we just kind of block that out. But I think when you have these near-death experiences, you don't have any blockers and that makes it so that you can have these experiences. And so I think that I totally believe that.
Yeah.
That you can have these, you know, like there's so much that has happened that to so many different people that I'm like, mm-hmm. how can I not believe that of people course. Have that experience?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like just the line gets thin between yes. here and there. And
the fact that it's the grandma telling her like, this isn't your time. Like you need to fight. And that's another thing is like, a lot of times it's like, you need to fight right now. Mm-hmm. And even if it's like yourself kind of like fighting for yourself, mm-hmm. like I think it's really cool.
It is so crazy.
That your body is like, okay, let's
just
go.
Just to be able to remember that. And like the fact that she said, I felt so peaceful. It mm-hmm. was just, cause that would be scary. Like not knowing where you are, you see your dead grandma. Like that could be a very scary mm-hmm. experience, but just the feeling of peace.
Like no
that
pain.
People talk about.
Like that
is crazy.
And that it would be easier to like slide into that peacefulness mm-hmm. of, well, I don't have pain over here. Like mm-hmm. this is nice. But then you're mm-hmm. like, no, I'm going to fight. Like this yeah. isn't my time. Let's get back.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty
you
cool.
You are also so brave for hiking by yourself.
Also, yeah, let's not do that.
Well, everyone be safe.
No,
take a travel buddy.
I am like, that is so scary. No, I think everyone should always have a buddy with them.
I just don't know how the rescuers found you yeah. if you were by yourself.
Yeah, that's so like, such a miracle that they could find you.
Well, I wonder how long. Yeah, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Like who called for help? Was someone there? Did someone yeah. find you?
Also, this reminded me of Tanner's grandma's experience that she had, which was she was really sick for a long time and ended up with, wasn't it Hashimoto's? And she had, or I don't even know what it was, but something was wrong with her thyroid. And it was making her really sick and like not able to even get out of bed. She was in a lot of pain and finally went to the doctors. And I think she was getting surgery and she flatlined while she mm-hmm. was in the doctors. And she said that she like could see, she like was out of her body and could see the doctors like working on her. And it was the first time in like months that she felt no pain. And she was like, oh my gosh, like this is so nice that I like don't have this pain. Mm-hmm. And she kind of like watched as the doctors were working on her to like get her to become alive again. And just like that, she was back in her body and like her heart started beating again and she was back there. But like, that is so crazy.
That is so gnarly.
To like,
to see yourself.
Watch yourself be in this position and like, yeah. oh my gosh, I finally have this like uh-huh. relief. But then it's like, no, we need to mm-hmm. fight and get back. Yeah. Like, let's go. And when she came back in, it was like, even though she's in pain, it was worth being back and knowing mm-hmm. that she was going to live. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It probably makes you less scared to die too.
I don't want to die.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
we're also in our 20s. So yeah. I mean,
well, oh, 30.
I'm 30.
One
now.
Of us is 30,
but it's too young.
Yeah. It's too young.
We okay. still have lots of life.
Also, do you want to know something crazy that I just found out?
Mm.
Can you guess how old Heath Ledger was when he passed away during the making of,
wasn't he like 32 Batman? Or something or 34?
He was 28.
What? He was in his 20s?
He was 28.
He was young.
Only 21 when he filmed Knight's Tale.
That's so crazy.
He was a baby.
I mean, I thought he was in his 30s.
I thought he was like 35, 38.
Yeah.
Like filming.
He was only 28.
And that's still young. That's still so young.
That's really
But like
sad.
Even looking at.
To think of the life he had left.
I'm like, that's literally you. That's your age, right?
Yes.
This year?
Uh-huh.
Like that's so crazy.
That's really young.
It's so young. And he, why did he
the
seem
Joker
so much older?
Looked so
he looked
old
so
in that
old.
Movie.
Like he looked 45
the
in that movie.
The makeup and the hair and the
So
something.
I think I just assumed he was like around 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that he was 28.
That's shocking. Ugh, he was such a good
so
actor.
So sad. And he had a daughter, she a little did? 2-year-old.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that either. That's really, really
so,
sad.
So sad.
Okay. This one says, one time when I was a kid, my sister, 9 years old-ish, and me, 7, and my mom were in a car about to go to church, and my mom had to run back inside to do something and left my sister and I in the car in the garage. It was winter, so not dangerous to be in the car for a few minutes. But my mom had also just taught my sister how to start the car. Because it was a little chilly, my sister decided to start the car and turn the heat on for us. Inside the closed garage, and maybe after 15 minutes, my sister and I both fell asleep and woke up to my mom gasping and opening the garage door to let the car exhaust out. that had been accumulating in the garage with us. I'm sure we were not really about to die from the fumes, but my mom got quite a scare seeing us asleep in the car like that. No, that is so, so scary. Mm-mm. Oh my gosh.
I will never. No, no. That makes me so scared.
That is so. Oh my gosh. If I would beat myself up about that for a long time, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's like totally a normal thing to do, to run back inside.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, it just goes to show never leave your children unattended
in the car. Just do whatever you can not to. I learned this lesson when we were back in Hawaii and our truck got stolen out of our driveway. Mm-hmm. And the freaky part is, like, there were some times where we'd run really quick inside to grab a beach chair, or we forgot this. Yeah. Yeah. And like, kids are in the car, but you're like 2 seconds away. The door is still open. But literally Jack was out there cleaning the car with me. He wasn't in the car. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I got to go get the car seats. Whatever. I put the car seats back in, went up to grab a trash bag with Jack. I took Jack with me. And within 2 seconds, a guy got in our car and drove away with it. And it made me realize, holy crap.
Like, I'm not even going to walk up to my house without them.
If my kids were in the car and he just got in the car and drove away with them, like, that changed my life. Yeah. Literally changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I know every mom has done this where you forget your wallet and you run back in the house 2 seconds later. But someone literally stole our car in 2 seconds. And now we won't ever do that ever again.
I don't even... With this car thing, I am so freaked out about it that I don't even turn on the car when the garage door is open. Unless I'm ready in the car and like gonna go, I don't turn on the car until like I'm driving out, because I'm so freaked out about that situation, that whole thing.
And obviously, like, her sister turned it on. She's 9.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
She wouldn't know anything like that. She's just like, oh, I'm gonna turn the car on. Like,
my gosh.
Also scary to like... Even Jack knows how to like start our car. I'm like, okay, so he can never be in the car alone, because what if he drives into something, or like he's seen us drive enough times. He like knows how to do that. Yeah. He's only 3.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, yeah. Kids and cars don't mix. Just never leave them unattended.
No, buy
a car.
Literally. This one says, I almost overdosed on prescription meds in preschool. What? One day, one of my best friends wore her mom's coat to school without her mom realizing. During recess, we decided to go through all the pockets. Inside were her car keys, wallet, and a bottle of pills. My friend started asking if any of us wanted any of her mom's special candy, and of course I did. We were able to pry the lid off and the bottle, and I was somehow able to chew 4 pieces of this candy. Later on during the day, I started to feel kind of sick while we were waiting in line to go to the library. I tell my friend, and as I do, I start to foam neon yellow at the mouth. It spills all down my white shirt, and my teacher freaks out. We show her the candy I ate, and she immediately takes me to the nurse. I don't remember anything after that point, but I'm still alive. Oof.
Oh my gosh. That is preschool.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
It's like a reminder to always be so careful with anything like that. Like,
put it away, lock it.
But like, the mom, of course, didn't know the jacket was missing or gone.
That is so scary. I can't imagine being that teacher and seeing child like foaming at the mouth.
I hate the kids ones. Like, it's wrecking me.
Scary. That is so crazy. Okay. Back in 2017, I was going to school at UVU. It was my first semester living away from home. One day, when I was walking down the hall at school, I heard what sounded like a big balloon pop and felt a huge gush of air right over the top of my head.
What?
I froze for a minute and thought that felt like a bullet. I thought there was no way, but ran to the locker room because I was shaking. I came out a few minutes later and there were cops everywhere and found out some kid had a gun he was carrying in his bag legally, but did not have the safety on and it was not in the carrier. He said his book hit the gun, causing it to fire. They looked on the security footage and it showed that when it went off, it barely missed my head, maybe by 1.5 inches, and hit the pipe in front of me. The school didn't release much about it because no one was physically injured. The kid got a ticket, but that was it.
You're joking.
Definitely have seen my fair share of therapists since.
You're actually joking me. I hate guns. I hate guns. They scare me so bad.
What idiot is carrying a gun without the freaking... If you have a gun and you don't know how to put the safety on, you shouldn't have a gun.
You shouldn't.
Every person that gets a gun should have full on training and courses. Especially if you're taking it to a school.
You have it in a bag with your books?
That's ridiculous. That actually pisses me off.
Safety off, not in a care...
Who's okay. the idiot that gave this guy a gun?
I don't like that. That is so scary. And then the fact that he just got a ticket and it's like, that could have been somebody's life.
And the fact that obviously, I hate when these freaking tragic like things almost happen, that people just cover that shiz up. Mm-hmm. Like everyone, obviously they don't want the school to look bad. Yeah. But that's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That should be... He should be in trouble. He should be expelled. You don't just do that and then go,
you're out of the school. Like yeah. You're done.
You almost killed. Bye. That could have killed someone.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that more and more.
I just want to homeschool my kids and do everything in my sweet little home.
That would be so traumatizing.
Like,
oh my gosh. Her.
Like, okay. Terrifying.
Like that could have been an inch again, inch lower, hit my head.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have a gun, please get training. Please know how to use it. Know what's safe and what's not, because that's just so stupid.
Mm-hmm. So spooky.
Oh, that made me so fired up.
This one says, I went to my grandma's cabin when I was 5 or 6 and had been swimming. I had been to the bathroom, so I ran back to the up to the cabin and left my life jacket with my grandma at the porch. When I came out, I ended up forgetting to grab my life jacket again and ran to jump off the dock. The next thing I remember is drowning, starting to see black. The neighbor must have heard me scream because the next thing I know, he's grabbing me and setting me on the back of the dock. I went back to the cabin and my grandma says, oh, did you forget something? And handed me the life jacket. She had no idea what just happened. I told my mom just this last year, I'm 23, and to this day, I don't think my grandma ever knew what happened.
Oh,
I hate that. I give me chills. Like the drowning thing scares me. I'm like, okay, swimming lessons and that like safety, you know, the baby thing where they put the baby in and they're like snapping. Yeah. Like that comes in handy. I know it's like this joke online or whatever, but I'm like, that can save lives.
Also, it's kind of gnarly that no one was like watching like 5 years old.
I know.
I feel like you wouldn't just let Ozzy go play by the lake unless you were 100% sure she could see her or she had her life jacket
on. Yeah, it's scary.
That's so sad. I know stuff happens.
Water stuff scares
that is,
me.
I can't believe she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
So scary.
Crazy. Not exactly a near-death experience, but I worked at a clothing store about a year ago and a man came into shop and I was assigned to help him. He was a little weird and awkward, but I didn't think anything of it. Turns out the previous day he had murdered his parents, stole their credit card, and used it to buy clothes at a store that I worked at.
What?
He ran to Colorado after he came to shop with me, and the police caught him there. I had to give the police a statement a week later about what happened.
Whoa, that is so scary.
They walk among us.
No, literally, it's so scary. I remember, actually, this was terrifying when I was in elementary school. Did you ever do the, like, in elementary school, we would always have these kind of random times where we would practice what we would do in case of an emergency or in case of, like, a lockdown.
Yeah,
or
like
in
the
case
earthquake
of
drills. And
earthquake drills or if somebody bad or there's a bomb or whatever it was. Like, we always did these random drills. One time we had a real lockdown when I was in 5th grade. And it was because we were across the street from a bank, like our elementary school was. And that bank was getting robbed. And the guy was running from the cops and
oh my gosh.
And our school was so close that everyone thought he was going to like try and come in there for sanction, like to hide from the cops.
Scary.
So we had like a true lockdown and I was shizzing my pants. Like I was under my, we were locked down. Like people were locked in the bathroom, like with a teacher, like it was so scary and so real. And I just kept picturing like what would happen if this guy tried to get in here. Like, would we actually be okay?
Yeah.
It was so scary.
That is terrifying to think about. And that, if you're young, sticks with you.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're old, I feel like it'd stick with you. But when you just don't know what's going to happen and they're just telling you to get under your desk. And
yeah.
Hi, don't get by the door.
It was so scary. Oh my gosh. I I forgot about this too, but with my mom, something happened to her that was actually the most terrifying thing ever. When it was right after my parents got a divorce. So they were going through the divorce. My mom was still in the house that we had. We were losing our house, but we were in the house for like a couple months after the divorce. And so she was home alone. And we were at my dad's, me and my brother were at my dad's house. And in the middle of the night at like 3 a.m., she hears like this pounding on the door. And she was kind of, you know, when you kind of wake up and you're not really coherent, you're not really understanding what's going on. So she's like, oh, who's here? So she's like, gets up to go answer the door. And as she reaches out for the door, she like kind of like jolts herself away. Cause like, what the freak? Like, who's at my door? It's 3 a.m. Like, what is going on? And so she didn't answer. And she said, who is it? And he like made up a name. It was like this guy. And he was like, it's Thomas. Let me in. I'm your real estate agent.
Holy crap.
Yelling. And my mom's like, I don't know a Thomas. I don't have a real estate agent right now. Like, what is happening? And so she ended up, because this is in the time, I'm pretty sure she didn't have a cell phone yet. Like, she had to go grab the home phone. Mm-hmm. And she was so scared because in right on that floor where our door was, behind her were these French doors that would be super easy to just like break the glass on, get in 2 seconds. And she's alone. Like, she's just this like 40-year-old woman alone in her house. And so she's freaking out. She actually ended up calling my uncle because they lived a few minutes away from us. I don't know why she didn't call the cops first, but she was like, told him what was going on. He beelined it over there. And as that's he gets amazing. There, he
answered. I'm always worried if something happens, know, like no one's going to answer.
Well, this they was put in on the time of home phones. So like they were ringing. They're so ringing. It wakes you up. You know what I mean? Like a home phone will always ring. Mm-hmm. And so luckily he answered and like got there right in the same time that the cops actually got there. Cause he was running from the cops. Mm-hmm. And it was this guy who had actually targeted two different houses to try and get in, and ended up being one of them was my mom.
Wow.
Of course. And then the other one was a single mom who had like three young kids. And those were the two houses he tried to get into. And
scumbag.
So he got like tackled to the ground.
Wait, so who was the guy? Was he a,
he was just this bad guy who had, I don't even know. I think it was like drugs goal? And I don't know what he had done, but he was running from the cops and he was like a bad dude and got tackled by the cops into the lawn. And my mom was so shaken up by that. And then when I found that out, I was just like, I was literally like nine when that happened.
So scary.
So scary. And I was so, and my mom was like, I was so scared to be alone, but I was actually so happy that you kids weren't in the house because that would have made me even more scared to what would have happened. Sure. But ooh, so scary to know that she was about to open the door too.
Yeah. And then you're like kind of delirious, like 3 a.m. You're like,
who's knocking on my door? Like, it has to be somebody I know. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh my gosh, who is this? Ooh, crazy. I'm so glad that she didn't open the door.
Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, me and my family were poisoned with carbon monoxide because of our old furnace. I woke up in the middle of the night and heard my brother, who was 4 years old at the time, screaming and crying in his sleep. I didn't think much of it and just went to the bathroom. I remember that I was trying to pee and lost consciousness 3 times, but I thought that it was just because I was tired. Well, the next thing I remember was my dad knocking on the door, trying to get me out of the bathroom. When I finally opened the door for him, I fainted once more and hit my head on the wall. Just note that my brother was still screaming and crying and we couldn't wake him up. Next thing I remember is when I was lying in bed and started crying that I don't want to die and heard an ambulance and a fire rescue coming to our house. At this point, my brother finally had woken up. We all rushed to the hospital. Turned out my exposure to the carbon monoxide was the worst. And if I had spent 5 more minutes in the house, I would be already dead. Other thing is that if my brother wasn't crying, we all wouldn't have been dead before the morning came. Or we all would have been dead before the morning came. That was also the day that my dad started believing in God because he thinks that God made my brother cry and wake us all up.
Chills. Mm-mm-mm. I am ordering 3 carbon monoxide.
This is your sign. Order those
things today. Doing that today.
Yeah.
So scary.
Yeah.
All these things of like, we were sleeping and wouldn't have known. And
yeah.
I definitely think God probably played a role in that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'd think that the baby would be more
like out of consciousness first because they have such a tiny little body.
Oh my gosh.
But the fact that he woke everyone up by screaming. I'm so glad
they're okay.
Yeah, that is terrifying. Oh, wow. Okay. I was 4 at a birthday party. I was in a red wagon. Why is that hard to say? Wood wagon.
Wood wagon.
Wood wagon. Along with other kids, and we were being pushed by another kid. Well, the kid who was in the wagon with me jumped out, but I stayed in. Before I knew it, I was being pushed off a small cliff that dropped into a riverbank. The wagon fell into the river, and by some miracle, I grabbed onto the edge where some tree roots were sticking out. I hung there screaming and crying until the birthday girl's father heard me and lifted me up. To say I was traumatized is an understatement.
Just a rushing river.
That is so scary. Yeah, water stuff is scary.
This is all, majority of these are kids' like stories.
The biggest, yeah, I need, yeah, I need other stories because I'm freaked already. I'm already so aware of stuff like that with the girls.
Oh, yeah.
It's just...
We're the overthinkers. Yeah, every I'm time an overthinker they're doing anything,
that stuff.
We're like, okay, this, I'm could like, happen.
This could happen.
This could happen.
Wait, don't do that. This could happen.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I'm definitely an overthinker with that already.
Yeah.
I have a couple more.
Okay. When my friend and I were about 6, we were playing in my front yard, running through the sprinklers on a very hot summer day when the mailman pulled up. We were pretending to be scared of him, so we ran around the corner into my garage and hid in the trunk of my dad's BMW. Mind you, this was in the 90s, and there was no pull lever to pull in case you got stuck in the trunk. We were in there for probably 30 minutes, screaming and crying, trying to get someone to open it. By luck, my oldest brother, was leaving to go to the baseball practice and popped the trunk to put his bag in. We came out gasping for air and sweating. Now I'm terrified of getting into small spaces or having my girls play in them. Oh, that is so scary. See, those things where you don't think.
We don't know. Because they're so young, they don't know.
No, you don't think about that.
And you also don't want your kids to be scared of the world.
Yeah, you don't want them just scared of everything.
I've noticed this with Jack because I'll say something like, oh, that could happen, and be like, Jack, we don't want that. But then he remembers it and he brings it up so much, and I feel bad because
you're like, I don't want to put that anxiety on you.
Yeah, I'm not trying to scare you, but also it's stuff like this where...
Yeah.
They're just so young that, and you can't, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's hard because you really don't want them to live in fear, but you want them to be safe.
It's such a hard balance.
No one talks about that.
No.
6 years old is so young.
So young. Poor girls. Glad you're okay.
Yeah. I was at church summer camp in 10th grade. It was around 9 p.m. and everyone was in the rec hall playing games and hanging out. I stepped outside to get some air. I was sitting there staring at the stars when a girl from my cabin came up and scared me. We both laughed and started chatting. Before coming to camp, I had never met her. She was a friend of a friend from out of state who decided to come to camp with her friend that summer. As we stood there talking, she mentioned how easy it would be to kill me right now in the dark woods. Her voice almost sounded like she was joking, but her face was completely serious. She said she had grabbed a knife off the table during dinner, and with everyone inside and with all the noise, no one would hear me scream. I awkwardly laughed, waiting for the "I'm just kidding" line to come, but instead she got offended at my laugh and her voice got very stern and she said, "I've stabbed someone before in New York and got away with it. That's why I'm staying with my friend this summer to get away from the area so the cops don't figure me out." She turned as though she was going to grab something out of her pocket, and I booked it back to the rec hall. Everyone said I was crazy and that she was clearly joking. The next day, she pulled me aside and said she couldn't believe I told everyone. She told me to watch myself and that I better make sure I'm never alone. After camp ended, I never saw her again.
That's so scary, and I hate when people don't believe.
I don't. Like, yeah, let me just make this up.
That is so terrifying.
Scary. I actually just
like, I could kill you right now.
That is so scary.
Just some random chick. It makes me want to punch her in the face. No. But then she probably would have stabbed you. So good thing you ran.
So freaking scary. Ooh, I'm glad you're good and safe.
We believe you.
We need to believe more people in those situations. Like, we need to, and not even just believe straight away, but let's investigate. Let's figure this shiz out.
Honestly, if someone has that many details,
yeah,
like right off the bat,
that's why would you make that up?
Yeah, I'm not just gonna. Okay. Like, what are you gain by making
investigation.
That up?
Let's do some investigation work.
What the?
Okay. This one says, was walking up to the Walmart entrance late one night and got a few things I was out of. From behind me, I hear someone say, hey, beautiful. So naturally, I turned around to find this man standing right behind me. He grabbed my arm and asked if he could show me something he was selling in his car. Hard pass. I kept trying to turn and walk away, but he'd find a reason to grab my arm. A group of people got out of their car, so I jumped in with them and walked in. Told them what happened. We reported to the manager, who said they'd been trying to catch this guy. They looked but couldn't find him. Got what I needed, and I walked back to my car while on the phone with my dad. When I turned my car on, the car behind me immediately turned on. I tried not to freak out. Probably coincidence. This car followed me down to my country roads and to my street, where my dad was waiting at the end of the driveway. The car drove by. One week later, one of our police friends said the man was arrested for following a lady from Walmart home, assaulting her and trying to kill her while robbing her. I have full chills.
I mean, that's stories. That's, you can't feel safe as a woman walking anywhere at night.
That's the worst part, is that I think about it every time I'm walking from store.
Even at 9 p.m.
If it's past 8, mm-hmm. I think past 7, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm by myself at the store. Like, I have to think, I literally think about it every time.
Yeah. That happened to me at Herman's.
Yeah.
Literally. Wait. Walking in my car. Had to turn on the alarm because some creepy guy followed me to my car. And it's like, the fact that.
And made comment. Wasn't he talking to you? Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, it's my alarm would sound really good. And I just used my car alarm and he went away. But it's I was like so cautious about like, is a car following me after that? Did he actually drive away? Like the fact that you boys don't really have to worry about this sucks because mm-hmm. every girl is just a target
mm-hmm.
for stuff like this.
I need to learn martial arts.
I would love to learn self-defense.
I need to learn some self-defense.
Self-defense, man.
Pum, pum. Don't even freaking mess with me.
No, it really would be so satisfying to beat up a creep.
Yeah, it would.
To lay the hammer down and... Anyway. That's so scary.
So scary.
Thinking like also the experience where you look back and you go, that could have been me. Like mm-hmm. that was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
The, my cousin's mom's best friend was killed by Ted Bundy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. He was like one of the victims.
She.
Oh, sorry. Okay. She.
I was like, was it a boy?
One of the victims of him. And I can't remember what she said, so I don't want to butcher this, but it was like one of those experiences where she's like, we're in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it could have been her, you know, like it's give or take of like who it will be just a second later, or if you go somewhere or not go. And it's so crazy.
Who is it that was approached by Ted Bundy but didn't end up going
with
him?
That's what I'm saying.
Was like, that, was that your aunt?
No.
Because there's somebody.
I know that story. Who is our,
which, the I don't one remember
where
which
he
friend.
Was dressed as a cop and like, or no. The guy that was saying, no, he I just need came help with my her. Groceries.
No.
There was one.
Oh. They were at a campfire.
Oh.
And it was like a...
Like that there's so many.
All these college kids that were just invited to this campfire. And this guy came on strong to this girl who is one of our friend's aunts, or like friends or something mm-hmm. like that. And he like came on strong, even though she was kind of there with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He kept trying to be flirty and be like, you'd rather leave with me though. Like, come on, just... Like he was being really flirty with her and forward and saying, you need to just come with me instead of him. Like, don't leave with him, trying to make it light and whatever. And she ended up like saying no to him. Later, he found somebody else and it was Ted Bundy.
Oh yeah.
Ted Bundy.
And then ended up killing them.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
It's crazy. So crazy. I just don't trust
any men.
Yeah.
Are we she don't woman trust no man haters?
It's just crazy. We just need to all, as women, collectively, let's freaking
learn self-defense.
Get our Fairly Odd pepper Sisters spray on.
Fight on.
Yeah.
Classes.
And then if you're a man, don't talk to us in the parking lot.
Honestly, like, literally, like, even if you even have the best intentions, like, if it is dark outside, just don't. Just keep whatever you were thinking inside.
Because it's just scary every time, no matter what it is. Even if you're nice and you're saying hi, I don't even want a hi.
Uh-huh.
If you are watching a woman in the parking lot, like, leave them alone.
It's almost to the point where I, like, don't want a man asking me to, like, help with groceries.
I don't want you to help me put my stuff away. I want you to stay away from me.
Yeah.
So...
literally just going off.
Just literally stay away.
Just get away. Okay, last one, you guys. This says, I'm getting anxiety from this episode. So.
I know. I'm sorry if this is giving you anxiety.
It's good to be aware, to remind ourselves.
It's good to be aware, but also we need to live life.
Live life.
Don't let this hinder you from living.
Last one says, my 84-year-old uncle was just telling me this last night. He saw this bright light and felt no pain. The ringing in his ear that he's had since he was 14 was gone, and he felt total peace. He saw someone walking towards him wearing checkered slacks, but then he was brought back and saw the man standing over him with the paddles. Paddles being the electric.
Like what shocks you
back awake. And then it says, he said he realized later that when he and his late wife started dating, that she was wearing those checkered slacks. So close, but so far.
Yeah.
That's really
cute. Stay with us.
Stay with us, but also he's old. He's like 85. He probably wants to be with her.
Live another 10.
That's so cute that like that was pulled out, like the little checkered slacks.
Yeah, that's cute. That's really cute.
Oh.
What was I going to say? Yeah. Okay, what I do that all the time, and Tanner told me it was from Hannah Montana.
It's like not
that. Oh yeah,
that's better.
But that they would do like a few. You remember?
Yeah, but the one that you do,
that one. Not one. What is that?
It's not.
Is it
one.
Me made up?
It's you.
Or
made
did
up.
I steal
I
that?
Think that's fully made up. But there were quite a few in Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
But that one is made up.
That one is my own personal tune that I say. Like when my life transitions into different stages during
it's
the day.
Just that.
I just go, It's like I'm living in a sitcom. And that's my little transition to the next scene.
Now transition us to the closing of this.
Okay, I'm going to close out this video. You know how good I am at these. So thanks for being here.
We were talking about this and there's nothing that stresses Lo out more than having to close.
I don't know what it is. If you've watched my YouTube videos, if you've literally watched any of these podcasts and I've had to close them, something's wrong with me. And I can't, it's like,
it's
I can't
hard.
Say goodbye. I just can't.
I don't know how to say goodbye on the phone. It's like,
I don't know how to do
thing.
It in person. I don't like to, I'd rather just stay and hang so that I don't have to say goodbye.
Just don't ever leave.
Don't ever leave. Anyway, we love you guys. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. Don't forget to live your life to the fullest and
hashtag live life
and don't let this hinder you from living your best life. So we love you guys. Hope you enjoyed. Thank you again for all your submissions that you gave us. And
these
if you were
great.
In these stories,
these were such great submissions.
Thank you so much for putting yourself
so
out
detailed.
There and letting
I love
us
it.
Into your little lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that you're okay and that you made it through these crazy experiences. So anyway, hope you have the best rest of your day. And we love you.
Love
you. See you next time.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.